He's still here, and we're so excited that we have a special guest to bring the message today. And it's going to be a wonderful message. Ramona, if you'd like to come up and take over, and you deliver the message for us today.
So today the message that I have titled First Love. Because, you know, the Lord was our first love. Whenever you accept Jesus Christ, He is your first love. Because you receive Him in His love. We can go to the next screen, Bob. A first love is often filled with romance, couples making plans for their future and going headlong into whatever it is that they have in front of them without a thought or care because they love that person that they're with. Next slide. But Jesus often talks about the church as His bride, as being His love. I'd like to read Ephesians 1:5, and if you'd like to turn in your Bibles with me, you can do that and join me for the reading of the Word. It's almost a little bit hard for me to see. But it says, it is for this reason, ever since I heard about your love for the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks or remembering for you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge of Him. You know, we get spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, I just am praying today that He will give us His spirit of revelation and knowledge in Jesus. Next slide. I'm reminded of a story that I actually heard from my husband one time. But the story was of a man who had a little farm and a family, but he had the will to be rich, and he wanted to find the largest diamond that there was to find. And so in his quest for finding the diamond, he sold his farm, and his wife and family left him because of his obsession to find the diamond. And eventually his wife and family left him, and because of his obsession, he died broke. Next. Sometime after this, and I heard that this was a true story, sometime after this, the largest diamond that was ever found was found on his property that used to be his little farm. Sometimes I wonder if Christians can relate to this in some way. Next slide. You know, I am thinking about a little child, and I'm sure that you probably know of many children like this that have been spoiled with almost everything they could want or think of. Next slide. These same children are often the ones that throw tantrums because they feel like maybe they didn't get something. Maybe somebody else got something a little bit better. In 2 Peter 1:3, he says, His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. You know, everything that we need is in Jesus. Everything that we need is in the Lord alone. Next slide. Is this a picture of us? Can we relate to the child that has everything? Sometimes I wonder. Next slide. Most of us that are Christians know that our everything is in Jesus. Then, what makes us feel separated from God? What has taken us to a dry place or in our relationship with Him? Next slide. This is so small, I'm sorry to say that I cannot even read this. But oftentimes I feel like that we are separated from the Lord, or we feel separated from the Lord. But, you know, I wonder, you know, do our thoughts sometimes separate us? The thoughts that the enemy comes in and he places into our thinking, does our thinking pattern line up with the promises of the Word of God and what God has said about us? Next slide. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death." Next slide. They say that darkness is the absence of light. Next slide. In Revelation 12:10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now is come the salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which has accused them before God day and night.'" You know, the enemy accuses us day and night, it says here, before the Lord. But if you turn into your Bibles in John 8:3-11, and this is so small, I might have to actually turn and read, or have somebody to turn and read. I'll see if I can turn around and see it this way. "And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, 'Master, this woman is taken in adultery in the very act.'" Now, in verse 5, it says, "Now Moses in the law commands that she should be stoned. What do you say?" "This," they said, tempting him, "that they may have something to accuse him." But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he didn't hear them. You know, the enemy accuses us day and night before the Lord. And here they came and they brought this woman to accuse in front of Jesus and see what it was that he would say. Next slide. In John 8:7, it says, "When they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said to them, 'He that is among you without the first sin, cast the first stone.'" Next slide. In verse 8, it says, "And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground." In verse 9, which heard it being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even into the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the middle of them. "Where are your accusers?" Jesus said to him. "Has anyone accused you? Neither do I accuse you." And Jesus forgave her from her sins. In John 8:11, she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anybody does sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." You know, the devil has a good way of beating us up, and he brings our past sometimes back to us, accusing us daily in front of the Father. But you know, Jesus came so that we would have life abundantly. He said, you know, "I don't want you to sin." He said, "But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." The enemy of our soul wants nothing more than to keep us separated from God, to keep us from coming into His presence. You know, I've known many people that say, "If I go to that church over there, it'll fall in." they are separated from coming into the presence of the Lord because the accuser constantly comes to them. But Jesus doesn't want us to be separated from God. That's why he came. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks, so is he. I think that's probably why the enemy comes into our thoughts so many times. He tries to convince us of something other than what God has told us. But is this a picture of us today? Are we who God says that we are, or the enemy in our own minds? Next slide. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Apostle Paul. In the book of Ephesians, in Paul's letter to the saints at Ephesus, he said a few things. First of all, he said that he was an apostle called by God. By the will of God, he offered blessing in Christ. He sends greetings and grace and peace. And he praises God for every spiritual blessing. When we think of Paul, we might think of a powerful man, and he did many powerful works through the Lord. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. He won many people to Christ and did many miracles in God. But this scripture tells us that he was afraid. It says that he was trembling in fear and not what most of us would imagine Paul to be. In 1 Corinthians 2, 3 through 4, it says, in verse 31, it says, I came to you in weakness and in fear, with much trembling. My message was not with persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Next slide. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Next slide. So that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but in God's power. 1 Corinthians 2:5. To know God is to love God. When Paul met Jesus, it changed his life. Although Paul was afraid, the revelation of God caused him to walk in great faith and the power of God. I'm reminded of the little boy that offered Jesus his sack lunch. Most of you probably remember the story in Matthew. Jesus was preaching to 5,000 people, and the people were hungry. If you want to follow along, we'll read in Matthew 14, verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, said the disciples. But Jesus asked them to bring them here to me, he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up into heaven, he gave thanks and broke the bread and gave it to the people. Next slide. They all ate and they were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number was about 5,000 men. Notice in this account that it was in a remote place, and it was getting late. Many today are in a remote place, and the time is getting late. Jesus' return is near. The disciples said to the people, send them away. And I wonder how many times that we see people and we send them to go away hungry. Jesus said, you feed them. Next slide. Paul was afraid, but he went forward by the calling of God. The little boy offered his lunch, but he was only a child. But he had a small lunch, but he offered it in faith and he gave it to Jesus. In 2 Peter 1:3, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us into glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When the disciples wanted to send them away, the Lord said to the disciples, you feed them. Jesus is calling us today to feed the people. He has given us all things according to his life and godliness, according to his glory and his virtue, so that we are wanting in nothing. Sometimes when people get married, they may be nervous or afraid, but they go forward in their love and they let their love dictate their response. They let their love dictate their actions and their decisions. In John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Before Jesus was crucified, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible doesn't say that he was afraid, but it does say that he prayed until there were great drops of blood. Are we believing in Jesus today? Is this a picture of us? Do we pray until there are, until there's great drops of blood? Do we pray until we have the breakthrough? God's love for mankind caused the action of him sending Jesus to save us from sin and death. Next slide. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never ends. I think this love is a pretty good picture of Jesus. When he went to the cross, he showed all of these to us. Is this a picture of us today? Do we walk in love? Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age world, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. That's us. We're the church. And Jesus is our head. In 1 John 3:1, it says, see what kind of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The Lord is calling us to himself today, to fellowship with him in the secret place, the place in our prayer closet, the place of praise. In Matthew 22:37, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. When we see Paul's letter to Ephesus, He praises God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, for every spiritual blessing in Christ. In the letters of Ephesians and Philippians, as well as the other letters, we see not only Paul's dependence on God, but his love, praise, and honor to God. Ephesians 1:18 through 19 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the working of his mighty strength. In Ephesians 1:20 it says, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms. Paul's faith in God's goodness allowed him to do great things for God. Peter's trust in God allowed him to walk on the water to Jesus. In Matthew 24:12, it says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. In Revelation 2-4, it says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how they cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and they are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have something against you, because thou hast left thy first love. Many Christians today have labored in the faith, and many have looked at apostles or preachers or prophets and found them liars. But many are tired of evil around us, and it seems that the passage in Revelation applies to us today. Have we left our first love in our life? Have we left Jesus Christ because of what we see around us? Next slide. I want to encourage you today that Jesus loves you. If you have left him today, or your relationship feels cold or distant, he's calling you back to the secret place with him. He that abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalms 91:1. In Revelation 1:4, it says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him which is and which was and is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of this earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. You know, the Lord is coming. He is coming. He is coming on the clouds. And oh, the glory when every eye beholds him. Oh, the glory when we shall see him. I thank him today. Everything we need is in him. Will you meet with him today in your prayer closet? Will you meet with him today in the secret place? The Lord is calling us back to him. He's calling the saints. He's calling those that are Christians that love the Lord to pray in the secret place. I would like to call John up at this time for prayer.
Well, thank you, Ramona. I tell you, when you're talking about that, we're talking about the first love. That really hit me. You know, the first love.
We were the first love of Jesus, because that's why he came down here to provide our salvation. Oh, how much I want to be where I can put him in the place where he is my first love. And I do things for him as you would imagine you would do for somebody that you loved. And then as you were talking about that scripture where the Lord, where they brought the woman that had the adultery, they brought her and they accused her. And of course, we always think, or at least I used to always think, that that was just him trying, the Pharisees and everybody trying to trip Jesus up. And it was an example of how wise Jesus was. What did he say? He said, for any of you who are without sin, cast the first stone. Then as Ramona said, they all started walking away until there was no one there. But you know what I realized? There was someone there that didn't have sin. It was Jesus. He was the person he was talking about. He could cast the stone, but he didn't. Just like he doesn't with us. He provides a way for us. His love comes out to us and it says, you know what? I love you. I understand. I'm going to forgive you. Sin no more. And that's really touched me, Ramon. So that was really good. But if you're watching this today and you haven't experienced this, I mean, the Lord loves you whether you know it or not. But if you can just accept that love and say, Lord, I want you to be my first love, you can develop that relationship with him. You can develop that communion with him. And that's what he wants us to do. And as you've already said, no matter where you came from, it doesn't matter where you came from, what you did. As you said, Ramona, some people say, oh, well, if I ever went into a church, it would fall down. Or they don't want me there. They don't know how bad I was. That doesn't matter. That's the devil getting in your head, trying to rob you of your victory. But I just want to thank you all for joining us here at Living Waters Church. And I hope and pray that you have a blessed week with the Lord's protection over you. And we'll see you again here next week. All right. And before we close in prayer, we thought we'd do this other little thing. If you want to come up, and we can all sing this together. And you'll recognize the song once Bob gets a chance to put the words in.